This is a Chronicle podcast, bringing you ideas in the service of medicine.
From the Chronicle podcast system, this is Vendor on Psoriasis with Dr. Ron Vendor. Based on the popular Vendor on Psoriasis column in the Chronicle of Skin and Allergy, Dr. Vendor provides brief synopses of recent significant clinical developments in psoriasis research and provides his observations and comments to accompany each report. In each episode, Dr. Vendor will answer questions and offer his expert observations and anecdotes on treating this chronic disease. If you have a question for him or want to be in touch at any time, just send an email to vendor@chronicle.org. That's V-N-D-E-R at chronicle.org. And, if you attach a voice clip, we might even use your question on an upcoming episode. Support for this podcast comes from Sun Pharma Canada. Sun Pharma is a world leader in specialty therapeutics and is now positioned to be an even larger contributor to the Canadian dermatology landscape. Learn more at www.sunpharma.com. And now, here's Jeremy Visser.
From the labs to trials to Europas, here comes Dr. Vendor on psoriasis. Don't they use that, but do try this. It's Dr. Vendor on psoriasis. Dr. Vendor on psoriasis.
Welcome back. I'm Jeremy Visser of the Chronicle of Skin and Allergy. You're listening to the first episode of our second season of the Vendor on Psoriasis podcast with Dr. Ron Vendor. Today, Dr. Vendor will be talking about generalized pustular psoriasis, self-help for psoriasis patients, and the link between early response and long-term response in psoriasis treatment. Dr. Vendor, we're at two whole seasons. That's as many seasons as most of Australia has. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be here again. And I agree, Australia only has two seasons. I think that Montreal also has two seasons, winter and construction.
Our first study looks at a case series of patients with generalized pustular psoriasis in the US. The study looked at 95 patients using more than 20 different systemic therapies. What are your thoughts on this study?
Well, you know, anytime you look at a study of a treatment that has so many options and so many different therapies or different therapies attempted, you can really know that there's not one that tends to work well. And generalized pustular psoriasis is one of those very difficult but rare disorder. We used to see a lot of generalized pustular psoriasis early in my training in the 90s, maybe because there was no good biologic therapy for psoriasis and good biologic therapy. Generalized pustular psoriasis is not only a rare condition, but it's a very devastating condition where plaques or sheets of pustules on red bases that can cover the patient. Quite often it's misdiagnosed as an infection, although these pustules are sterile. The patients can present to emergency rooms, and since there's usually not a dermatologist in an emergency room and hard to get one on call, of course, then they're often misdiagnosed as a staph infection or something like that. And so, first of all, the diagnosis is very, very, very difficult. And also, because it's so extensive, there can be systemic symptoms with it, such as fevers or chills or heat loss or dehydration. So quite often, these patients are admitted. So in this study, they looked at patients that were hospitalized and non-hospitalized. And as you mentioned, 20 different systemic therapies were tried. Quite often, people will use oral corticosteroids, sometimes oral retinoids, oral cyclosporin can be used. Methotrexate is a bit slow, but also can be used. In the days of biologics, intravenous, such as infliximab, can be very, very helpful, or fast-acting medications, such as anti-IL-17s or even anti-IL-23s have been tried. But some new research has come out to look at possible anti-IL-36 medications, and there are ongoing phase 2 and phase 3 studies going on internationally with these medications for generalized pustular psoriasis. So in discussing this particular study, it comes back to the first comment: anything where they're using 20 different systemic treatments to treat one disease means that there's not one that's any good, or it's a very difficult disease to treat. And that is the exact story with this one. And so it's very, very difficult, very devastating. But with the up and coming anti-IL-36 medications, I think that these patients will have a chance at having some control.
Next, we have a study linking early response to stable long-term response in psoriasis patients being treated with ixekizumab or ustekinumab. What's your take on this study, Dr. Bender?
So thank you very much. So looking at the long-term response of any medications is very important. And this study looked at ixekizumab or ustekinumab. So the one thing I do want to mention is when you look at a study that is looking at long-term or drug survival or persistence, as they call it, the stability and the ease of use and the safety and efficacy all comes into play. So one reason why someone may stay on it long-term is that it's working very well, or it's working well enough and there's no particular side effects with it, and so they can continue to use it. And ustekinumab has been out for many, many years and has a very low risk of serious side effects or side effects that would require a treatment change. Ixekizumab has been out for many years as well and also has long-term persistence because of its efficacy and also because of its safety. The risk of IBD with any anti-IL-17 or candidiasis is extremely low. So that's unlikely a reason for a drug to be discontinued and lose some of that survival. And ixekizumab also may have some injection site reaction, as any other biologic will have injection site reactions as well. However, both of these medications can certainly lose some effect over time, as with many biologics, but luckily there is some dose optimization that can occur with ustekinumab, running from 45 milligrams every 12 weeks up to 90 milligrams every 8 weeks without jeopardizing safety. And ixekizumab, with its induction dosing of 80 milligrams every 2 weeks for the first 3 months and then go to every 4 weeks, has been also able to optimize back to every 2 weeks without any safety. So does that mean that those medications always need dose adjustments? No, very rarely that they do need dose adjustments. An early response is sort of a predictor, as this study showed, to a longer-term response. So if the patient tends to respond quickly, either during the induction or the first 6 months, then there's a likelihood that they are a responsive patient. And I believe that psoriasis patients have a specific phenotype. For example, it's possible with you, Jeremy, that if you had psoriasis, that you are an anti-IL-17 phenotype. And if we hit the nail on the head and I prescribe ixekizumab, then you're going to respond very well. Maybe Sally, another person, is a anti-IL-12/23 or a P40-induced type of psoriasis, that's the predominant inflammatory cascade for that patient, and that patient will respond to ustekinumab. So this early response that was shown in this study, where they are more likely to achieve a PASI 90, which is clear or almost clear, or PASI 100, which means 100% response or zero, is able to predict that that patient's going to have long-term survival, stay on that drug, be safe on that drug, and be happy on the drug.
Our last study is a randomized controlled feasibility trial focusing on online compassion-focused self-help for psoriasis patients. Dr. Bender, what did you think about this study?
Well, thanks, Jeremy. This randomized is sort of like a feasibility trial, as you mentioned, meaning that the patients themselves are able to share with caregivers of a psychological or psychosocial aspect of their psoriasis, not only to say, okay, hold on here, we're going to give you a medication and you're going to get better, but when there is this psychological support or emotional support that can be given to the patient, looking at and trying to explain that this should not be a shameful disease, that there is something that can be done and your quality of life can be improved is important. This study shows that, you know, people care about it. It's not something that they should be shy about. They should explain to their friends and to their family members what psoriasis is and know that people are willing to listen. And so this trial that had 130 patients had an intervention that was non-drug related, but more compassion and listening type of related. And now with the world more virtual than it ever was before because of the pandemic, and thank goodness we're coming back, then this study was important to know that, you know what, you can improve some quality of life with these patients that have psoriasis by giving them the opportunity for feedback and trying to explain that they don't need to be shamed about it, and that this study and this type of portal can reduce this feelingness that they have and have a better quality of life. So an interesting thing and difficult to do, but you can see by the number of patients that wanted to participate, patients sometimes just don't want to do surveys. But if they had a potential to improve their quality of life, I think that that's why they were quite successful in getting about 130 patients.
Let's go to our listener questions for this episode. Our first is from Saskatchewan. In reference to the first study, where there were over 20 different systemic therapies used to treat generalized pustular psoriasis, Dr. Vender, can you comment on the lack of standardized treatment?
Sure. You know, I think that the standardized treatment for generalized pustular psoriasis is a very difficult one because there is no specific treatment. You can't look up in a book like you can strep throat, penicillin, psoriasis, topical therapy, this biologic. This is generalized pustular psoriasis. It's a completely different subset and different mechanism of action from regular plaque psoriasis. But the good news is that there is up and coming treatment that are in phase two and phase three studies with anti-IL-36. It was discovered that this is the main cytokine that is responsible for generalized pustular psoriasis. And although there is lack of standardized treatment at the present time, there is hope that there will be standardized treatment and effective as well as safe therapy in the near future.
Our second question comes from Manitoba. In your experience, how important to patients is early response over long-term response?
Well, thank you for that question. And, you know, early response over long-term response are both important. I think that early response, as we discussed in a previous study, show that there is a potential, if there is early response, such as in the ustekinumab and the ixekizumab study that was recently published, showing that if you have an early response, it could be a predictor to long-term response. The other thing that early response does is it gives some hope to the prescribing physician or hope to the patient that something is going to work. Quite often when you see a patient, they have tried other many topical therapies, maybe even systemics, and they sort of lose hope that there's nothing that's going to be able to help them. However, if they are prescribed a medication and they start it and they see an early response, that can also give hope. And also those early responders, some pharmaceutical companies like to call it a super responder. So someone that has a good early clinical response, an improvement of quality of life earlier as well. These are usually in previous studies, such as with guselkumab, shown to be thinner patients, younger patients, male patients, patients that had had psoriasis for less than 2 years. They tend to be a super responder, not necessarily an early responder, but sort of both. So I think that that can predict that, hey, this medication works and you're going to be able to stay on it for quite a long time and hopefully continue to show effectiveness and safety.
Our last question comes from even further west in Vancouver. As a practicing dermatologist, what resources or advice would you give to patients struggling with the psychological aspects of psoriasis and other skin conditions?
So, Jeremy, thank you for the question. You know, dermatologists are very efficient physicians because our diagnosis is usually by visual inspection and without having to do tests, occasionally biopsy. Yes, I mean, psoriasis very rarely is biopsy. It's a clinical diagnosis based on morphology and with distribution. The patients still need to be heard. Patients need to be listened to. They need to understand that you understand and that they do have hope. They have taken the time to come to your office. They have taken the time to see their family doctor for a referral and are looking for help. But not only help from the outside, but help from the inside as well. In other words, help for how they feel, their psychological aspects. And in one previously published study, they were able to allow these patients to express their feelings online for either the physician to read and have some feedback on their psychological aspect of this disease. And I think that not only do you want the patient to look good from the outside, but you want them to feel good on the inside as well. And so I think that the best advice is to advise patients to go to self-help groups or a foundation or organization like a Canadian Patient Skin Alliance or Canadian Psoriasis Network, or in America, the National Psoriasis Foundation and other organizations. I'd be very, very careful with Facebook groups unless they are vetted, but that's what I would suggest.
Thank you, Dr. Vender. Listeners, if you have comments or questions for Dr. Vender, send them over. Send an email to health@chronicle.org. Add a voice clip attachment to your questions, and you might appear in a future episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. You can subscribe at Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced in cooperation with Sun Pharma Canada. I'm Jeremy Visser of Chronicle Companies. Your host has been Dr. Ron Venderm, founder and director of Venderm Innovations in Psoriasis, a center of excellence for psoriasis offering a comprehensive management solution for individuals with psoriasis. We'll talk again next week.
Don't use that to try this, says Vender on Psoriasis. Dr. Vender on Psoriasis. Vender on Psoriasis.